I'm Jenna.
And I'm Stephanie.
And you are listening to Pastors' Wives Tell All,
a podcast by pastors' wives for church leaders and anyone desiring to take a peek inside our glass house.
We are breaking down walls and crushing pastors' wives' stereotypes within the church.
We want pastors' wives and other ministry leaders to know that they are not alone in this. Plus, this is basically therapy for the three of us with a whole lot of dance parties. Woo, 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 woo. Hey friends, welcome back to Pastors' Wives Tell All. Today, our new friend, Andrea Isaacs, is joining us for a much needed conversation. Andrea is a pastor's wife, mom of four, high school English teacher, Enneagram 7, who loves Harry Connick Jr., themed dinner parties, and musicals. She and her husband Jason have pastored Hope City Church in Louisville, Kentucky for 15 years. When she isn't teaching or folding laundry, she is probably reading a book or talking about books. Her secret dream job would be to be a voiceover for a Disney princess. She loves Jesus and the local church, and she believes the best in people because God doesn't make mistakes. In this episode, Andrea opens up about supporting her husband during one of the darkest times of his ministry life. As the weight of depression and doubt over his calling clouded his vision, Andrea learned how to walk alongside her husband, who was normally the rock of the relationship. For anyone who has a pastor's spouse facing fear, doubt, or an identity crisis, this episode is for you. Now let's get to this important conversation. Hey, Andrea, we are so excited to have you on the show today with us.
I cannot even believe it. Y'all exist. They do exist. They do exist.
Oh my gosh.
Did you think we were pretend people?
I mean, you know, so I've been following you guys for several years now, and it's just like I'm just a giddy little schoolgirl getting to meet my, you know, heroes.
Well, you need to just come visit us, and then you can, seriously, we can just all hang out.
For real. I'm going to need you to let us know for sure next time you're in town, because I think that you've come to Columbus before, right?
I have been to Columbus. Yes. I love your people. I'm actually originally from Georgia, believe it or not.
Oh, wow. What part?
So I grew up in Marietta, okay. Georgia. Okay. That's my stomping grounds. Yeah.
That's awesome. Very
cool. I don't mind making it down south.
Yes, girl.
Okay. Well, come on. I'm sure we'll be close to Kentucky again soon, too. So we'll meet you in person one day. Anyway, so Andrea, Jenna, for those who are listening and not watching something, because we don't have video, but we can see your face right now. But I actually kind of sort of met you through a text message recently because my lead pastor, Kyle, and his wife, Jen, you're actually really good friends with them, you and your husband.
Yes. We are. So there's four couples that have been close for a really, really long time. My brother and sister-in-law, and then some college friends of theirs. And so Jason and I have connected with them because of those relationships through school. Yes. I mean, honestly, like they've known each other, several of them have known each other since they were even like teenagers before college. Wow. So we love Kyle and Jen, and we actually like vacation together and hang out together.
I love that so much.
So you are in good places, good hands.
Yeah. Oh, they are amazing humans. They truly are. We love them so much. What's so random about this too, though, is the one night that I decided to put my camera down and not like actually take pictures at an event at church. I happened to be in a picture that Kyle posted on social media, and you were like, I know who that is. And that's how we connected, which is so cool to me. And it's just such little thing, just a little thing that, you know, God did and through my obedience and putting my camera down for an evening. Hello.
See,
I
love it.
And now we get to meet you and chat with you. So before we jump into our conversation, can you please just introduce yourself to our listeners? Tell us, you know, what you and your husband do. Tell us a little about your family and about your salvation testimony.
Yeah, absolutely. So Jason and I actually met when we were teenagers. And so we were dating by my senior year of high school and got married when we were 20 years old. And we jumped right in to full-time ministry. Yeah. We were youth pastors for the first couple of years. We lived in Monroe, Louisiana, which is nuts. It's like Duck Dynasty.
Been there. Yes.
You know, so we were there for about a year and a half. And then a friend of ours called who was pastoring in Louisville, Kentucky. And he said, why don't you come, you know, work for me and let's do this thing together. And so we moved, we were 21. We moved to Louisville, Kentucky. And that was 19 years ago. So we were youth pastors for a couple of years. And then the pastor that we were actually friends with, he transitioned out, and the church actually ended up voting on us to become the pastors, which was, when I tell you, like a crazy idea. We were not expecting that.
Because y'all were young too, right?
We were 24 years old.
Yeah.
And definitely that was biting off more than we could chew. But honestly, like, it is 100% the grace of God and just really patient, kind, loving church folks who allowed us to grow and allowed us to mature and honestly allowed us to make some mistakes. Yeah. But we said yes. And so we started as the senior pastors, and that was 15 years ago. We just celebrated our 15-year anniversary this past August. And so it's been a milestone year for us, for sure. And we also, this year, we ended up actually having a really cool merger with another church and acquired their building. And the two congregations ended up combining, and Jason and I are pastoring as one kind of unified church now, which has been just really, really cool. And we also, in that 15 years of pastoring, I ended up getting two degrees. I have a bachelor's degree in English and a master's degree in teaching. And so I actually teach high school full-time. Ooh, so we are in ministry, and I have a full-time, you know, outside of ministry job. Plus we have four kids. So we have a 15-year-old Sadie. She's the oldest, obviously, and a 12-year-old Nora, and then a 9-year-old Solomon and a 7-year-old Ezekiel. So we got the two girls up top that are older, and then the little boys, right side by side. And so, yeah, when I say, like, our lives are full. It really is. Full-time job, full-time ministry, four children, all the sports, all the things. But Jason and I both have been in church pretty much our whole entire lives. And I don't know if we, like, share testimonies like that often enough, like what it looks like when God keeps you.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, love, you know, awesome, compelling stories of redemption. But the truth is, like, all of our stories are redemption stories. But he teases me all the time, because my actual salvation story is that I got saved when I was 6 years old at, like, a revival service. There was an evangelist in town, and he makes fun of me all. He's like, "Did you really understand the gospel at 6 years old?" And I'm like, "Listen, okay, buddy, Jesus said, 'Let the little children come unto me.'" Okay. So that's where I settled it. He came kind of, even though growing up, like, in an awesome church home, he was 16, like 15 or 16 for him. But we have been doing this thing. And I think that's, again, like, important to kind of set up for what I know we're going to end up sharing and talking about, because no matter how long you serve the Lord or how much of your heart and life have been committed, like, you can still experience really hard things and 100%. Really, really, you know, tough times. But yeah, I'm one of those lifelong, like, multi-generational, like, I have an awesome testimony of just a family of believers.
And yeah, I love it.
By the grace of God, like, that has been the joy of my heart and life since I was itty bitty.
Man,
I love that.
I love it. Well, I love also, a lot of our story is the same. My husband and I started, I mean, we knew each other in high school, started, once we got married at 20, right into youth pastors. We were in youth ministry a little bit longer than y'all. So we are in our first lead pastor role now, which has been around 9 years now. So we were married 20 years this year, guys.
We really are identical.
Yeah.
So we celebrate 20 years in June. I turned 40 in January. Oh my gosh.
It's okay, girl. I'm here at 40, and it's okay. It's not much different. Don't be scared. It's going to be good as we go older. That's what my mom says. Amen.
What's it like? What's it like being up there, you know, in the big 40s?
Yeah.
You know, us youngins, we just have no idea.
I don't know. Who's going through menopause first?
I got a couple years.
Oh my God.
Okay. So let's dive into your story. Okay. So your husband, the past couple of years, has really been going through a lot of things just internally, and things that have happened, and some heartbreak and some struggles. So
can you kind of share with us what has been going on the past few years in his heart and mind? And also, you know, to let you know and let people out there know, pastors, they want to quit a lot of times. So I need y'all to hear that. My husband has said, I can go work for Chick-fil-A. I can go, you know, do other things, especially when things get rough. Mm-hmm. So know that there is no judgment in this and that they are human. But a lot of what we're going to talk about today is that those times in his life. So in your life. So can you kind of share what has been going on the past couple of years and why he was almost ready to give up on ministry?
Yeah. And I really have been prayerful that even the words that you just said would land with people who really need to hear it. Because the reality for anybody who is serving, especially in high capacity, like full-time mm-hmm. ministry, you know that you are so cautious about where the safe places are that you can confide in people or talk about like the harder things that you are experiencing.
Absolutely.
And so I'm so grateful just for you guys talking. I mean, it really is like pastor's wives tell all. You guys are amazing. But let's just back up and say everybody, every one of us, 2020 just kicked all of our tails, right? So you are experiencing a pandemic and, you know, everybody who's in ministry is looking around like this is way brand new territory. So even all of the mentors or leaders or people that you usually look to who tend to kind of have some wisdom, they're like, we're in the same boat. So we get through, you know, 2020 already like whiplash, pretty much that was kind of the status for the majority of pastors and leaders. And 2021, the very start of the year, we had a pretty intense situation where there was just a lot of heat from political conversations. And if you even all of us kind of like walk ourselves through, and depending on geographically, like where you minister, you know, the political climate can be in different places.
Oh,
and
yeah,
so sure. Jason started walking through just a real, it's almost like this anxiety around cancel culture, where if you're a pastor and you're in a pulpit week after week and you're trying to help people understand the Bible and you're trying to align, you know, values and truths and morals and a biblical worldview, that is going to bump up against a lot of controversy.
Yeah.
Mm. And so there was some members in our church who were very upset. And he is trying to, you know, lead from a place of biblical truth. And he just started getting bombarded emails and text messages, and to the point of even like some threatening stuff, like we're going to the media, we're going to the news, and this is hate and this is a crime and this is, you know, like it was as intense without, you know, all of the gory details as intense. In fact, like I was leading like a virtual book club. There was like 70 women on a virtual call, and I'm seeing the text messages like pop up. On this is why you turn off your notifications.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is why you turn them off.
Yeah.
So I'm like literally trying to lead and talk to women, and I'm seeing, I mean, just nasty, hateful, like when I tell you, just wrecking your mind and your heart and soul. And it sent my husband into a really horrible state. And I actually ended up picking up the phone and calling my brother-in-law, who is also a pastor. This is one of the friends that we were, you know, talking about. And I was like, hey, listen, I need you to come preach this weekend. So I asked my brother-in-law to leave his congregation to kind of navigate. He had one of his staff pastors step in. But it was a crisis moment. Mm-hmm. Quick backstory about my husband. I had never seen him cry until this experience. We had been married for, you know, 15 years.
Yeah.
And the whole time that through the birth of our children, our wedding day, even his mother passed away, other hard things that we had experienced, he just had never cried. Mm-hmm. And so seeing someone that you've known for a really, really long time, in the fetal position, like on our bedroom floor, yeah. like I can't do it, mm-hmm. was when I say like earth shattering.
Yeah.
I mean, every anchor or tangible way that I knew how to like stay afloat was turned upside yeah. down. And we were actually supposed to go on, I had booked like a bed and breakfast. It was around Valentine's Day. Like this had been going on like through the month of January into February. And I ended up canceling our weekend. And I called our elders and I said, we had never done this before. This was not like a common practice for us. And every single one of them showed up at a house and we prayed for Jason.
Yeah.
And they were so incredible to, I mean, honestly, truly like hold his arms up, you know, like Moses, like you're yeah. just in a battle.
Yeah.
And, that actually spurred on, an 8-week sabbatical that summer. And, when we came back from the sabbatical, so much had changed and God honestly did like a really, really deep work of just understanding for Jason emotions, fear, you know, he was like through that stretch of February, March, April, May, like getting to the sabbatical, every single Sunday felt like an impossible lift. Like mm-hmm. I have to go do this thing that I have always loved doing yeah. and that brought so much joy, you know, teaching the Bible is his absolute favorite. It felt debilitating. And there was even like probably 2 or 3 Sundays in that stretch where he would be, I'd find him almost like hiding in his office. Yeah. I'd be like, how we doing? You know, do I need to go preach? Let me have your notes, you know, like, and yeah. honestly, it was one of the most transformative stretches. Our congregation didn't know what was going on. Our elders knew, our close ministry friends knew. But our congregation did not know, but the series, like if I go back and listen to the series that he preached during that stretch, it is one of the cornerstone, like theological series of our church. Yeah. And so all that to say, like even leading from a place of brokenness, like God shows up, mm-hmm. which yeah. is Amen. Incredible. Yeah. I mean, just incredible. But through the sabbatical, we were both kind of able to let go. We've been at this thing for 11, 12 years, full time, as the lead pastors. And it was the first time you ever watch like a movie and like somebody gets shot and they're like running and running and running. And then like, when they finally stop, they go like, oh, like this is bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that is like such, maybe not for everybody, but maybe for some people who are listening, like ministry, sometimes you just find a way to run on adrenaline or mm-hmm. you're just like pushing yeah. through really hard things. And when you actually get a chance to come up for air, you're like, I'm not doing so great.
Yeah.
And, that is where we were.
That's such a great way to describe that feeling, like that picture that you just described. That is such an amazing like way to say that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So we needed triage. We needed an emergency room of like, stop the bleeding. Yeah. Wow. And the sabbatical, you know, gave us a chance to do that. He also started regularly seeing a therapist, a counselor. And we are so grateful, so thankful. His name is Brandon. We talk about Brandon a lot because Brandon is awesome. He loves Jesus and he has been so encouraging to help both of us walk through our emotions and just like what is the healthy way to approach. And I think a lot of times in ministry, like there is some like martyr syndrome. There is yeah. a lot of like, I'm doing this, you know, mm-hmm. for Jesus, or we recognize that we're serving, that we're sacrificing. And so you lose sometimes not everybody, but sometimes you lose sight of like, where is the line of, I understand that I'm called to this and I am in a lot of ways laying down my life mm-hmm. versus like, oh wait, hold on. Now my soul is in trouble.
Yeah.
And that's a huge question. I mean, like that's huge. Fast forward, we kind of get through that stretch and things are going really well. And 2022, the summer of 2022, we were supposed to start a merger. And the first time through, the other church voted it down. And we thought that it was like a done deal. And so my husband kind of spirals again into this massive belief about himself that he is not capable. So if you've ever, you know, been married to somebody who is feeling insecure, feeling like they are not up to the task, feeling like they have the wrong skill set for what they've been called to do. I mean, just a myriad of, you know, self-doubt. In that same stretch, this is crazy. Our car got stolen out of our driveway. He broke his ankle. It was like,
wow,
bad news after bad news. So much like grief and like disappointment. And it was like around November last year, exactly a year ago, he was like, he told me, he told his counselor, and he told our head elders, like, I think I may be done. Like, I think I may, I think I've maybe led the church as far as I can. And I think I'm the ceiling. Like, that was the narrative in his mind. Like, I am what is holding us back. And the month of December, he preached a series on Exodus, and 77 people ended up being baptized.
Wow.
And it was like, it radically shifted, you know, what he saw on the landscape of, like, you know, the future of the church and things like that. And so we started, you know, this year with, we actually ended up walking through the merger, which was amazing, and some really awesome, awesome things through that whole experience. And it has just been a testimony to what God can do when you are willing to, like, seek first the kingdom of God, hold on, and invite people in to share those burdens.
Hey friend, we will get right back to our episode, but we want to take a moment and thank our patrons. You guys keep our podcast going.
If you are not a patron and you would like to consider donating to our podcast ministry, we would be so grateful, and we might even do a happy dance.
When you become a patron, you get perks like being the first to hear about special info and retreats. You get bonus episodes, monthly devotionals, lock screens, and more.
Plus, we have added a new $1 tier for those who believe in us and what we're doing, just because you love us.
So head on over to our show notes and click on the Patreon link to learn more. Now let's get back to our episode.
Yeah, as you were talking, and I'm hearing about the fact that your husband didn't cry ever, and then he broke.
Yep.
And I think sometimes behind the scenes or behind what's going on in our minds is, I feel like that's protection for some people.
Yep.
My husband's very similar to what you're talking about, where something has happened. I don't know it. And sometimes people have to dig back up because they think, well, my background's not that bad. I don't have a horrible story, blah, blah, blah. But something has happened that has triggered the fear that ends up coming up in all of these different ways and the breaking point. Because it's all this time we're trying to be the rock.
Yep.
But God is the rock.
Yeah.
And it's okay to let down those walls and to be vulnerable and to cry. Yeah. I mean, how many times did David fall apart? And God said he was a man after his own heart, and he was not perfect, and he was a mess, and obviously went through depression and anxiety. But for some reason, we think that we're done. Yeah. When that happens, that's it. I'm packing my bags. I'm wiping my hands of this place, kicking the dirt off, and I'm going. Like, because they would be better without me. But that is not true. God says over and over again, like, when you're weak, he is strong.
Yeah.
He does everything. We've talked about this before. He does things backwards. Like, he doesn't want to use the person who has it all together and feels like they're the rock, because then the real rock doesn't have room to come in and be that firm foundation. And so I'm wondering,
Yeah.
As like your husband has been processing and maybe you've been processing over the years, and maybe, because I know sometimes as husbands and wives, we start talking about all those things, maybe from childhood or from early in marriage, because y'all got married early and you jumped right into a lot of serious stuff. Like to only be youth pastors for that short time and then to be a lead pastor right away at 24.
Huge.
That's a, that's a lot. That's a lot of pressure.
For sure.
And so like, what do you think, was there something that y'all dug up that you realized was maybe the root of all this insecurity and these deep feelings of fear that came to the surface through COVID and everything that followed?
Yeah, absolutely. So Pete Scazzaro wrote a book called Emotionally Healthy Leader. And there's like different iterations. There's like emotionally healthy, you know, fill in the blank. But that was the one that I got a hold of, was Emotionally Healthy Leader. And it was at the perfect time where all of this, it's like, oh my goodness, I'm a complex human being with layers of emotions. And I would say prior to this experience, not just Jason, but myself included, our brains were geared towards kind of reframing things like pretty quickly. And I think a lot of Christians might even do this because it's almost viewed as like sinful. If you are fearful, you don't trust God. If you are angry, you are sinning. If you are, you know, worried, you like, there's this belief that if you're not joyful all the time, somehow you are not being faithful to the call that God has put on your life or whatever. Yeah. And so we started that process of working through Emotionally Healthy Leader, going to a counselor. And for sure, Jason has articulated that he, through that process, realized he was after control. Like he wanted to control everything. And he would also say, specifically, like pinpointed back to this conversation around people questioning his leadership because of how he was preaching or teaching. I would have said, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, like what he banked his, you know, pastoral skill set on was the ability to teach the Bible. So when that comes into question, like your identity is shattering.
Yeah.
And you are like, wait a second. The one thing that I thought I was really good at, if that is the area that is being called into question, like who am I? And so it wasn't even, it was like, we have to address fear and we're also addressing like our identity makeup, our purpose, like all of the things at the same time. But I would say it absolutely did exactly what you're talking about and caused us to go all the way back and look at family of origin, you know, where does this belief, you know, that you have to, I would say for Jason, like if I plan better or I hunt down answers and research things, like I will be in control. I will be better, you know, prepared. For me, it was if I generate enough excitement about something, like everything will be okay. And and that like if I look for the silver lining, like that is what I'm supposed to do as a Christian. Like I'm never supposed to be afraid. I'm never supposed to be sad. I'm never supposed to be angry. And so we just started having lots and lots of conversations. In fact, we went through a practice every night at dinner. This is so funny. Maybe you want to try this. Maybe this will help you. And your family, we would ask four questions. We would say, what are you mad about? Angry about? What are you scared about? What are you worried about? What are you sad about? And what are you glad about? And so it started just with me and Jason at first. We started inviting our kids to that conversation. And that was incredibly powerful. We, Jason and I both realized like we didn't necessarily come from families that were willing to have emotional conversations. And now we have a dinner table where kids can actually articulate like, I'm really sad that my, you know, so yeah. And it actually, he ended up writing a book, which is crazy. So we have Deep Change. This is it. The Deep Change. All of us, Jason, myself, this has become like the framework for our church, for all of us, like that every single one of us is an emotional human. And Jason would have said before this, I have emotions, but like I'm a rock. You used that phrase earlier.
Yeah.
I think maybe a lot of leaders, you know, feel that way. They thought I'm not like an emotional basket case, right? But he would say now I was emotionally inept. Like what I perceived as solid was actually like an avoidance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Oh my goodness. I want to start implementing those questions with my kids.
Well, since we're like, on the topic about so those good. Questions, I have a question about the questions.
Yes. So,
if that doesn't make it more confusing. So with your kids, when you first started asking these questions, did you find any hesitation of them to join in at the table at first, or did they just jump right in?
I think our kids don't have all of the, and I mean our kids, like not just my four, I mean like our kids, like this generation. And I see it too, because I teach high school. They don't have the same hangups that we do. They are like looking for a space. They'll be like, I'll tell you exactly what I'm scared about right now. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, like
awesome.
They did not have, and I have, again, not just because of my four kids, but the teenagers, you know, that I work with on a regular basis, like they are dying for adults to validate their experiences mm-hmm. and their emotions.
Yeah.
And it helped us too. We, you know, kind of articulated like when you're, I think we had maybe Jason and I specifically had like a misconception about fear. I would not have thought of myself as a fearful person, but I experience uncertainty all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was maybe language that helped me, because I wasn't like, oh my goodness, who's at the door? What are we going to do? Because I wasn't jumpy or like thinking that there was, you know, like a shadow behind every bush. I was like, I'm not a fearful person. What are you talking about? But this sense of anxiety or uncertainty or like, how's that going to play out? Wow. I wonder how that'll go over.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Is so-and-so mad at me? You know, like there is all kinds of uncertainty that I'm facing. Same thing with sadness. I would have never qualified myself as like a sad person, but a sense of loss. Like I definitely know what that feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what sadness is. Sadness is, man, yeah, like that feels like a loss. Like that feels, and then anger is unfairness. So again, I never thought I was an angry person because I don't have like road rage, you know, I'm not like punching a hole in the wall, but do I feel like things are unfair? Yeah. Do I feel frustrated and irritated and maybe resentful that, you know, that person got to be, you know, whatever, things that are unfair. So that helped us also to like encourage our kids.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what do you feel like is unfair right now? What do you feel like is a loss? What do you feel like feels uncertain for you?
So as you're walking through all of that with your husband and your kids, I have two questions. I want to know, like, did you ever feel like walking away from it all? And then how did your kids respond as your husband was going through all of that as well? Like, did they see it? Were they aware?
My older two girls were. The boys were not aware. And we had to have conversations with Sadie specifically because she was connected to some of the families that stopped coming to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to, it honestly, Jason and I, our approach is like, we're going to lean in to hard things. And while we don't divulge, you know, all the details to our kids by any means, I do think it's important to navigate, you know, with your kids. Hey, listen, people aren't always going to agree with what dad says, and that's okay. People have to walk out their own salvation with fear and trembling, and we're accountable and responsible to God, you know, for the way that we teach and the way that we disciple people. And that's on us. Like that is a burden that we carry and that we want to honor and that we recognize, but we don't always get it right. And even when we do get it right, people might not agree with us. You know, like cancel culture feels so real for anybody who is in any kind of like spotlight. I can't imagine how y'all must feel. Like what kind of emails do y'all field, you know, or comments do you field? Like this idea of like, can I even accomplish anything good without it being overweighed by criticism? Mm. So I think just walking, you know, through that with our kids, and we try to be really honest, and the way that we have articulated it sometimes is like, you know how inside your brain, I'll tell you this, this is the real answer to your question. The movie Inside Out.
Mm-hmm. It's life changing.
That's the answer. Okay, guys, remember Inside Out. Remember how sadness was like walking around inside her brain. Well, it feels like sadness is at the control panels right now. Okay, where we are. That has, you know, that helped them. In fact, 2 weeks ago, we were at a prayer service, and Jason was talking about, you know, just some of these experiences and emotions. And my son, Solomon, who's 9, was on the front row. And he whispered over, he was like, "Dad's been going through a hard time." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Oh, yeah, buddy, he has." And he's like, "No, he hasn't." Because but it's all happening. A lot of it is happening here. And I said, "Do you ever get like really sad inside your head that you just maybe sometimes can't stop thinking about that you're sad?" And he was like, "Yeah." Like he looked at me like, "That's a dumb question. Like, of course." Yeah. And I said, "Well, that's where he's at." And he actually ended up praying for his dad, like in that service, which was incredible. You know, so I think, you know, obviously there's a vocabulary for how to talk to a 7-year-old versus a 12-year-old versus an 18-year-old or whatever. But no, we have tried to walk that out, you know, with our kids and let them know that it's okay to have big emotions.
Yeah.
You know,
I know you kind of already alluded to a little of this, but if you wanted to add anything else to while your husband was going through this, you are definitely going through a lot as well. I mean, because you are his helpmate and spouse. And so what were some of the feelings that you were going through? Because, you know, you were having to be the rock. You were having to be that helper. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things that you were feeling just so, you know, to help other ladies or men that are going through the same thing with their spouse that can go, okay, this is okay that I feel like this, also how do I get out of it?
I think that you have to regularly remind yourself of the calling that God has on your life. And I'm just so grateful that while it was hard for me, we were not experiencing lows at the same exact time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Like, yes, thank you, Jesus. And so there was a sense of like, because I am so into visuals and metaphors, and we've already talked about a Disney movie, I felt like the mom on The Incredibles who like stretches her body out, like around her kids, to be like a shield. And I even ended up saying that to our counselor. And I think maybe for wives, like, the repercussions of hunkering down and like being like, okay, I'm the rock. Mm-hmm. You might not feel the effects or the impact of that for like 6 months,
right?
Or like a year later. Mm-hmm. And so when we kind of got out of the like forest, so to speak, I was very honest with Jason, like, I'm going to need like a second. And I was seeing our counselor and things like that too, just really honestly, like trying to stay committed, because all of us have probably at some point in whether you've maybe taken care of an elderly parent, or you have just because of the demands of ministry, or you've walked through, you know, a sickness or whatever, like compassion fatigue is real. Like caring for someone else is ministry, obviously, you know, in and of itself. And so I would encourage anybody, specifically pastors' wives, but anybody who is in the trenches of trying to support and care for someone, if they're walking through mental illness, if they're walking through physical illness, whatever the case may be, like when you are in it and it is pervasive night and day for months and months and months, I would encourage you to listen more than you talk. That was a huge, I think, turning point for me. I want to have the answers. I want to have the wisdom to offer up. I want to have the right things to say, but listening allows whoever it is that you're caring for to access their language side, you know, their logic side of their brain more than their emotion side of their brain. And so let them talk, listen. And especially if it is, you know, someone who can't share, where is your husband supposed to go? Like, where is he supposed to go? A counselor? That's incredible. if you have safe elders and confidants, but sometimes even that feels hard. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to be a space to listen. I think you have to be willing to physically connect, whatever that looks like for you. Again, this is more in the context of like a pastor's wife, but like there were times where Jason would be like, can I just put my head on your shoulder? Mm-hmm. And to be quite frank, like that was brand new territory for us. Yeah. Even after, you know, two decades together, like the willingness to be like physical connection. And he would have said like physical touch was not even like a thing that he thought he needed. Mm-hmm. So I think physical contact, physical connection, and honestly asking them like, what do you need right now? Sometimes they won't be able to articulate it, but other times they may say, can you speak tonight at the prayer meeting?
Yeah.
Instead of me, you know, like you have to ask that question. And at least give them a chance to offer that up. And I would say speaking life, reminding them of their calling. Like your words have so much power, especially if they're in a season of doubting their abilities. Like you have to say, listen, buddy, I know you might not see or believe this about yourself right now, but I know that God called you to this and that you are so good at what you do. And like, I see the gifts in you and I know that God has purposed you this way. Like it is transformative. Even if they, you know, like I used, he 16-year-old version of my husband, 18-year-old version, 21, he was so cocky, like so arrogant. And I think I thought for a long time, like, he don't need me. Compliment him. Like he's already got it under control. Yeah. And now, oh my gosh, at 40 years old, like he's very successful, but he's like, you thought it was good? Did you think it was good?
Did you think it was married to my husband?
It's like, what? Yes. Yes. It was great, babe. Is that, can you resonate? Like that's, you're married to somebody like that. I love it. And then the last two things I would say is, Have you considered appreciating your husband for being your pastor? You know, just like saying, thank you so much that you have pastored me.
Yeah.
Like that you, and the more specific you can be about what he has done to pastor you, like what is it that has made a difference? That a way that he has led you or a way that he has pastored you is going to just like invigorate every cell in his body. Like he will walk taller because, you know, you said that. And the last thing is just providing space. The way that you support is to provide space for them to rest. And that's so hard. I think that was probably the biggest lift for me. We have four kids. I have a full-time job. To go like, listen, go get away for a weekend is maybe one of the most sacrificial things and hardest things. And I would just encourage you to figure out how to do it. Like God will return the favor. Okay. Yes. God, it will find its way back to you, but
what is that verse or just that God kept bringing you to during this time? Cause this is a lot on both of you.
Yeah. I would say for sure. You know, even just the act of sharing this story with you guys, I am so committed to Revelation 12:11, that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And so I think through this whole process, like a scripture that we've held on to is just being willing to be vulnerable, share our story, and knowing that one of the greatest weapons that we have against the enemy is to declare God's goodness and what he is doing and saying like, you didn't take me out. Like I was like on the mat, you know, and the count was like coming, but like, you did not take me out.
Yeah.
And, just reminding other people of that, you know, victory. And then also Galatians 6:9, my goodness, don't let us grow weary in doing good.
Yeah.
Like all the time, I'm like, God, don't let me grow weary. Cause I'm feeling pretty weary.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just good. clinging to both of those truths.
Man. I think need to really just hang up the Revelation verse. I really do. I need to go hang up that up on my mirror and look at it every day, even though I know it, but just hearing it even right now spoke to me. So
yeah,
thank you for sharing that. And I am really sad that we are getting close to the end of this, because this has probably been, honestly, one of my favorite episodes.
It's been so good.
You guys say that every time.
No, we really don't. I really don't say this has been one of my favorite episodes every time. Go back and listen. When's the last time Stephanie said that?
But we do love all of you out there.
We do. We do think everybody's amazing. But no, for me, and these ladies know that I actually meant that when I said that.
Yeah.
Because I needed to hear a lot of what you said. I'm going to be very honest with you. And so I appreciate it. And now I'm going to need us to not be teary and cry, because I feel like I'm about to as well. Okay. So we're going to go on to our final three questions. Okay. That's what we're going to do. So the first one, man, there's so many things we want to tell ourselves, but if you could go back and give your pre-pastor wifey self one piece of advice, what would it be?
Ugh. Okay. Just one. Okay. All right. So you may have to edit this if you want just one, but I would say, I would tell my younger self, it's going to be a lot harder than you think, but it's going to be so much better than you think. Mm. I would say that. And I would also say, and this is maybe more personal, like to my makeup, like to my DNA. I would tell my younger self, you don't always have to be joyful and excited. Like you can sit in hard things with people. And that is ministry as well. I think for a long time, I thought that like being the hype person, that was ministry, like galvanizing people and like being inspiring and like, God's going to do it. Like I thought that was ministry. And in, you know, 20 years of doing this now, I realize the power of your presence with someone else in their life when they are walking through hard things is just, you know, I love it when God gives me a word for someone. I love it when I'm able to pray with someone. I love it when I'm able to excite or encourage or affirm, but just being there. And I think that would have been, that was hard for my 21-year-old self to like buy into. And then here's the last one. I would say it's okay for you to be exactly who God created you to be. Mm-hmm. You do not have to prove to other people that you're an adult or that you're mature or that you're capable of depth. Like you can be your lighthearted, you know, dancing around the living room, or maybe in another context, like if you don't play the piano, like it's okay.
Yeah.
if you don't want to like put together flower arrangements for the banquet hall, like it's all right.
And I sure don't.
You know, like it's God made you exactly how you are. And you married the person that you are married to because that is a dynamic duo. So whatever it is that you bring to the table is valuable.
Amen. Absolutely. So oh my goodness. And then the second one you said, can I just say, isn't that everybody though? Pastors' wives, we were always, I've always thought they are the happy, perky ones. And like when you're sad, they're like, oh no, we just need to rely on Jesus. Yeah. Now we just need to trust in God, which I mean, obviously we do, but and that person knows that. Just let them cry and be.
Yeah. So good. Okay, Andrea, number two, what do you do for fun, either by yourself or with your spouse, to get your mind off of all the ministry things?
Okay. So this summer, I got to do a bucket list item, and my husband and I went to Scotland for two weeks.
That sounds amazing.
We were there.
That's amazing.
And it was life-changing because it's been, you know, I just love it. I in my heart of hearts, I am a Highlander and I want to live in Scotland. Okay, so Here's what I brought home. I planted a cottage garden in my backyard because everywhere we went in Scotland, listen, you guys, daisies like grow wild in Scotland, like everywhere. It's so beautiful. And so all of these like wildflower cottage garden. And what is so my favorite thing about it is that you kind of like do a thing and then you like walk away from it and you come back and you're like, oh, wow, this is awesome. And it doesn't take a lot of like, I don't have roses in my stuff because they're so finicky and so needy. All of my flowers are like delightful, easygoing, you know. So I'm in the garden.
I need those.
I love it. You need easy flowers.
I do. I kill everything.
You need perennials. You need hardy echinacea that come back every year, daisies and all the easy things. But I, you will find me in any given moment that I can, you know, scrape away free time. I am in a garden and it truly is like, I want to be a little old lady with a sun hat.
I love it. I love it so much.
And some bagpipes, maybe.
Yes. Little plaid skirt. Yeah.
Little. I'm envisioning it.
Okay, Andrea. Okay, your third question. If you could tell the church congregation one thing without reservation and have them really listen, what is the wisdom from you?
Your pastor always appreciates hearing how he and his family have made an impact. Mm-hmm. And you are never wearing us out by telling us how much you're praying for us. Jason and I, like, it is always appreciated. We are always grateful. Anybody who writes a card comes up, like, you are, and I think people need to hear that because they're like, I don't want to bother you. I didn't want to, you know. No, every time that you share an answered prayer, what God is doing in your life, thank you so much for that word that you spoke. Here's exactly how it applied to my life. It is life sustaining. Yeah. Like, it is so life giving. Yeah. Wherever you are attending church, wherever you are, pray for your pastor, pray for your pastor's family. And the more that you can actually frame that up, like if you send them an email with your prayer, or if you, you know, write it in a card, or if you tell them, I want you to know at 6 a.m. every morning, there's a notification on my phone that says, pray for your pastor. Like, that is so incredibly beautiful. So that's what I would say. Every church member is you, that you are giving them years and years and years of encouragement in your one statement.
That's amazing. Wow. I love it. That's
so much.
Such a good,
Andrea,
a good
little, so much. Good little ending. Yes. This has been so much like wisdom, just so much stuff and just such a perfect timing for this episode for sure. Kind of like what Stephanie was saying. So thank you so much for just being honest and sharing the hard things, but also the amazing things that are going on. And so guys, until next time,
bye.
Okay, friends, if you have enjoyed this episode as much as we have, please help us spread the word on Facebook and Instagram.
If you didn't know yet, Instagram is where all the fun is at, from dance reels on Wednesdays to spiritual encouragement and laugh out loud posts in between. There is something for everyone.
And last, but certainly not least, if you could take a moment right now to stop what you're doing and give us a rating and review, even subscribe to our podcast, this seriously helps other people find us who wouldn't be able to otherwise. Thank you so much for your love and support. We hope you'll tune in next week.